إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you. Once again we continue in this majalis al-dhikr fi Ramadan al-Kareem, the sittings of knowledge and remembrance of Allah in this blessed month of Ramadan. We continue today reading about the rulings and regulation and the etiquettes of the Eid, of the day of the Eid. But before that, I'm going to read to you an answer to a question that I received yesterday from one of our brothers, Hafidahullah. And the question was about Zakat al-Fitr. If a person died before Fajr, the Fajr on the day of the Eid, should anybody from his family give the Zakat al-Fitr on him? Right, Sheikh? That was the question? No. Here is a similar question, okay? That includes this, but it gets even more information, and this is by the Permanent Committee for Scholarly Research and Ifta, Al-Lajna Daima. By the chairman was Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars. His deputy chairman was the Mufti now, Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh. As for members, Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan and Bakr Abu Zayd, rahimahullah. The fatwa, Group 2, Part 8, page 270. Okay. The question says, a man died before sunset of the last day of Ramadan, and another died after sunset. On whom is it obligatory to pay Zakat al-Fitr? Okay. Zakat al-Fitr, which is the obligatory charity paid before the festival of breaking of the fast, before the Eid prayer. Okay. The answer of the Lajna Daima. Okay, this great scholar, he says, Zakat al-Fitr is not obligatory on anyone who dies before sunset on the night preceding Eid al-Fitr. Okay, Sheikh al-Uthaymeen, because there's another fatwa of Sheikh al-Uthaymeen, there's many fatwa, I just select this one. Sheikh al-Uthaymeen, he says, because Zakat al-Fitr become obligatory at the ghurub, at the sunset of the night where the Eid follows. Okay, so Zakat al-Fitr is not obligatory on anyone who dies before sunset on the night preceding Eid al-Fitr, as it becomes obligatory only after sunset. See, because Zakat al-Fitr become obligatory after sunset of the last night of Ramadan, and the man in question died before the set time of Zakat al-Fitr, so no zakat. On the other hand, Zakat al-Fitr should be paid on behalf of the person who died after sunset. And that's the question. Yeah. This person died before Fajr, yeah, after sunset. So Zakat al-Fitr should be paid on behalf of the person who died after sunset, for it became obligatory on him or her as he died in the set time of Zakat al-Fitr. May Allah grant us success. May peace and blessings be upon our Prophet Muhammad, his family and companions. We're going to post this outside, inshallah. I have another fatwa, but doesn't find it very important, that doesn't relate to this topic, but relate to insurance. Remind me, it's very, very important fatwa that will help us, alhamdulillah, because a lot of people ask me this question. Alhamdulillah. Okay, you remind me, Abdul Rahman, because you're the closest one to me. You guys, Abdullah too, and Abdul Rahman from Oklahoma. We have Abdul Rahman from Oklahoma, alhamdulillah, and Yahya too. You're welcome, inshallah, amongst us. Okay, Jazakum Allah khair. Now we're going to continue reading. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان في الملخص الفقهي ويسن التبكير في الخروج لصلاة العيد. Another points. Now the Sheikh is giving points. Hafidahullah, he says, and it is sunnah to come early for Salat al-Eid. And just from this you see, many of us, we just rush, we come at the last moment, Now it is a sunnah to come early, inshallah ta'ala. Why? قَلْ يَتَمَكَّنَ مِنَ الدُّنُوِ مِنَ الْإِمَامِ. Here is the benefits of coming early. You get closer to the imam who is going to lead the salah. Because the first row is better than the second. And the second better than the third. And the light. وَتَحْصُرَ لَهُ فَضِيلَةِ انْتِذَارِ الصَّلَاةِ. And also another benefit, you are waiting for the prayer. The one who sits there and waits is not like the one who just came at the time when they began to pray. And I didn't say the time of the Iqamah, right? You know why? Somebody know? Because there is no Iqamah for the Eid prayer. No Adhan, no Iqamah. We're going to get to that, inshallah. قَالْ فَيَكْثُرَ ثَوَابُهُ. So the person who come early and get in the front and wait for the prayer, this person, this is how our reward are increased. And that's what we should be concerned as Muslims. We be concerned of increasing the rewards. And these are the ways, easy ways to increase the rewards, as you see. Just come early. And of course, I'm going to mention something. This is a side note, especially for those who are married with children. This is the Eid day. On the Eid day, you got to be nice. You got to have to be patient. Especially as husbands. You got to, that night, take time out. I don't know if it's in your house or in a parking lot before even you get into your house, and say to yourself, look, tomorrow is a special day. Tonight and tomorrow is a special day for all of us. This is a Eid. We have to be happy. So I'm going to be patient with my wife and with my children, because that day, remember, everybody, I don't know why everybody lose their shoes on that day. Almost everybody find only one pair. The other pair, where is it? I don't know, in the sink or where. For whatever reason, they couldn't find their khimars. For whatever reason, they couldn't find this or that. Did it happen to you, or is this happening to me? Some even, they couldn't find their keys. Now, we give advices. That night, make sure everyone get ready whatever clothing they want to wear. And put them by your side. You got three children, you got there. This is yours. Even socks, shoes, everything. Put it there. Khimar for the girls, anything. Ghutra, kufi, even the oil you want to put on, put it in there. So when you get up, mashallah, it's ready. Now people start looking. Some men, and you're looking at one right now, all he wants to do, we care about ourselves. We go and take a shower. And then we wear and we go, I'm in the car, I'm giving you 3 minutes. Now the sister, she has to take care of herself, take care of like six children or four or three or two. No, we have to get involved. We help them. Okay, I got this. Get the girls, I got the boys. The older boys, they help the little ones. But this all could be avoided if we prepare everything that night. Okay, so inshallah ta'ala, ikhwan, try to do this, inshallah, jazakumullah khairan, as a family, barakallahu feekum. طيب, وَيُسَنُّ, another point, وَيُسَنُّ أَنْ يَتَجَمَّلَ الْمُسْلِمُ لِسَلَاةِ الْعِيدِ بِلُبْسِ أَحْسَنِ الثِّيَابِ. لحديث جابر رضي الله عنه, كانت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جبة يلبسها في العيدين ويوم الجمعة, رواه ابن خزيمة بصحيحه. It is sunnah to beautify yourself, meaning to look beautiful. Well, how you do that? By wearing the best of your clothing for the Eid. Likewise in Jumu'ah. By wearing the best of your clothing on the day of the Eid. Okay? That's how you beautify yourself. Okay? By wearing the best clothing on the Eid. Jabir radiallahu anhu said in the hadith that is in Sahih ibn Khuzaymah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has this jubba, this cloak that he used to wear in the two Eids and Jumu'ah. So you wear the best clothing in Yawm al-Jumu'ah. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه كان يلبس في العيدين أحسن ثيابه رواه البيهقي بإسناد جيد. Also Imam al-Bayhaqi, he narrated, he brought this author on ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, that he used to wear the best of his clothing in the two Eid. Because we know, every one of us likes one thobe or one clothing. You like it. You like it a lot. That's why you don't wear it a lot. It's always in the back of the closet. You wear it in Jumu'ah. After Jumu'ah, you go straight and take it off and put another one. These are the nice looking thobe that you want to wear on the Eid so that you can look nice, inshallah ta'ala. Number another point, ويشترط لصلاة العيد الاستيطان بأن يكون الذين يقيمونها مستوطنين في مساكن مبنية بما جرت العادة بالبناء به كما في صلاة الجمعة. There is a condition the Shaykh says that for the Eid prayer to be established, that the people they have to be residents. They couldn't be residents in houses that are built. Doesn't matter they built from wood or from stones or from rocks or whatever, or steel, as long as they have houses and they are established community and neighborhood and the people in one area, those people, they have to establish the Eid prayer. Of course, Muslims. The same way, this is the same conditions applied on Jumu'ah. فَلَا تُقَامُ صَلَاةُ الْعِيدِ إِلَّا حَيْتُ يَسُوغُ إِقَامَةُ صَلَاةُ الْجُمُعَةِ. He says, so therefore, the Eid prayer, it is established by those who establish Jumu'ah prayer. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وافق العيد في حجته ولم يصلها وكذلك خلفاؤه من بعده. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he made Hajj, there was Eid, he didn't pray the Eid, he didn't do the Eid prayer, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And so therefore the people who make Hajj, they are exempt from Eid prayer. They are exempt. Unless if somebody is already there at that day, that's different. Okay? If somebody make it after they do the Jamara or whatever, and they make it still and the people they didn't pray, which it's gonna be tough because them in Mecca they pray right after sunrise. Okay? But this is applies for those people who have conditions. Elderly, women, pregnant, this, that, people that the Prophet ﷺ allowed them at Muzdalifah to leave after Ghurub al-Qamar. After the Ghurub al-Qamar, it's usually around 1:30 in the morning or something like that, after midnight. The people who have conditions, the Prophet ﷺ allowed them to leave from Muzdalifah and they can do the Jamara immediately. As for those who doesn't have this excuse, they should stay until they pray Fajr in Muzdalifah. That's a side note from the Hajj, by the way. So the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't pray the Eid prayer when in his Hajj, and also the Khulafa radiyallahu anhum after him, they follow his example and they didn't perform the Eid prayer in the Hajj because they were traveling. وَصَلَاتُ الْعِيدِ رَكْعَتَانْ قَبْلَ الْخُطْبَةِ. Another point, the Eid prayer is two units, two rak'ah, before the khutbah, before the sermon, because there is a sermon. So it is the opposite, if you want to say, of Jumu'ah. In Jumu'ah, what we usually do, you hear the khutbah first. Then after the khutbah, there is the prayer. In the Eid, both of them, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, is the opposite. When the Imam comes, at the time that it is fixed for the Salat comes first. Once they finish the prayer, the Eid prayer, then the Imam give a khutbah. لقول ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما كأن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبو بكر وعمر وعثمان يصلون العيدين قبل الخطبة متفق عليه. Because of the statements of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, one of the great companions, he says in his hadith, in this author that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim رحمهم الله, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Abu Bakr, Umar, his father, and Uthman radiallahu anhum, they used to pray the Eid prayer before the khutbah, before the sermons, before they deliver the sermons. وَقَدْ إِسْتَفَادَتِ السُّنَّةِ بِذَلِكَ وَعَلَيْهِ عَامَةُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. And the sunnah, alhamdulillah, we have narrations that support this. And this is what the people of knowledge are upon. The most of them are upon this. قال الترمذي والعمل عليه عند أهل العلم من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وغيرهم أن صلاة العيدين قبل الخطبة. So this is the actions of the people of knowledge, mainly from the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and other than them, that the Eid prayer precede the sermons. The Eid prayer come before the khutbah. Now the Shaykh gave us a hikmah, the reason why this is like this. Why the Jumu'ah, in Jumu'ah, the khutbah is before the Salat, and in the Eid it's not. this khutbah come after the salah. قال وحكمة تأخير الخطبة عن صلاة العيد وتقديمها على صلاة الجمعة أن خطبة الجمعة شرط للصلاة والشرط مقدم على المشروط بخلاف خطبة العيد فإنها سنة. الحمد لله for the علماء يا أخوان, because they make things easy for us. If somebody was like, why, here is the reason why. He says, because in Jumu'ah, that khutbah is a condition, from the condition for the salat. And you know the conditions have to be met before what is performed for. Who can give me a condition of the prayers? Abdullah. One condition of the prayers. Naam, Abdul Rahman.
Wudu.
Wudu, ahsant. Wudu. That's condition. Has to be done after the salat. Can somebody pray and then go make wudu? Can he do that, Abdullah? No, cannot. He gotta pray, he gotta make wudu before the prayer. Another condition. Naam, Udrahim. Facing the Qibla. Ahsant. Can somebody pray and then he salam alaykum salam alaykum? Where is the Qibla, ya akhi? Oh, this way. He faced the Qibla after he prayed? No. Gotta face the Qibla before. Naam, Mustafa. Say that again. Naam, the good intention. Naam, somebody, he knows what he's doing. He's not somebody, he just prayed and then after that he says, Ikhwan, what we just prayed? Dhuhr. Oh yeah, that's my intention for Dhuhr. Now, you can't do that. You gotta know what you're doing before you perform. Naam, Jazakumullah khair. Same thing he says. But in the Eid, for the Eid prayer, the khutbah is not a condition, it's just a sunnah. That's why the ulama, they says, when a person, after the Eid prayer, the Eid is over, you don't have to sit for the khutbah. But it's better for you. This doesn't mean you don't have to, and people just go in the back of the musalla and begin talk and bother the people. No. If you have nowhere to go, because some people, they still work that day. Because sometimes the people still go to work, they pray and they have to go, it's okay. لا بأس إن شاء الله تعالى. وصلاة العيدين ركعتين بإجماع المسلمين وفي الصحيحين وغيرهما عن ابن عباس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى يوم الفطر ركعتين لم يصلي قبلهما ولا بعدهما. Now another point, the Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى, he says the Eid prayer is two units. Well, this is the consensus of the Muslims. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih al-Muslim, and other than them, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he performed the Eid prayer on Yom al-Fitr, two units. He did not pray anything before them and he did not pray anything after them. وقال, so there is no sunnah when you come to the musalla, there is no sunnah. But if the Eid prayer is going to take in the masjid, then you pray tahiyyat al-masjid. Okay? Because the sunnah is that you pray in the musalla. Unless if you cannot pray in the musalla, then inshallah ta'ala we pray in the masjid. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he prayed in the masjid, if there is a reason for that, there is a udhr for that. وقال عمر رضي الله عنه صلاة الفطر والأضحى ركعتان تمام غير قصر على لسان نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد خاب من افترى. Also عمر رضي الله عنه, he says that صلاة الفطر والأضحى, meaning the Eid prayer for Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, are two rakat as well. Another point, يقول الشيخ حفظه الله ولا يشرع لصلاة العيد أذان ولا إقامة لما روى مسلم عن جابر رضي الله عنه صليت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم العيد غير مرة ولا مرتين فبدأ بالصلاة قبل الخطبة بغير أذان ولا إقامة. Also, it is not legislated for the Eid prayer, the Adhan nor the Iqama. The Eid prayer have no Adhan. You don't call the Adhan for the Eid. And when the Imam comes, nobody called the Iqama for that. The Imam, he comes and he says, Istawu, i'tadilu, make your lines straight, and that's it. Okay, but there's no Adhan, no Iqama. Because of this hadith, the colleague of the Imam Muslim, Jabir radiallahu anhu, he says, I prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Eid, more than once or twice. The Prophet ﷺ always start with the salat before the khutbah without adhan nor iqama. So there is no adhan and the iqama for the Eid. Of course, there is Adhan and Iqama for Jumu'ah, but not for the Eid prayers. ويكبر في الركعة الأولى بعد تكبيرة الإحرام والاستفتاح وقبل التعود والقراءة ست تكبيرات. Now the Eid prayer, when you come to takbir, there is a little bit different now. There is more than one takbir. In Jumu'ah you say Allahu Akbar, and then the Imam began to recite Al-Fatiha after making the Dua al-Istiftah if he dies. Okay? But in Jumu'ah is different. In Eid actually it's different. Unless if that Imam forgets. The one who's leading, if he forgets, which is not a big deal. Why? Because this takbirat, 6 or 5 or 7, there is difference. The ulama, they mention as long as it is established on the Prophet ﷺ, if they are sunnah. They are sunnah. If the imam forget, la ba's. Inshallah ta'ala. But what do we do? The imam, he make the takbir, and the people, they will do it after him as well. He will say Allahu Akbar in the first rak'ah. Okay? That's takbirat al-ihram. That's rukun min arkan al-salat. That's which rukun? The first or second or third? Huh? No? First. No? First. Second. Second. Not intention. Intention is a condition. The first? No, it's not the first. Second. So what is the first?
Standing straight.
Ahsant. First one is standing. You gotta stand first. Al-qiyamu ma'a al-qudra fil farida. Standing, if able, in what's obligatory prayer, that's the first pillar. Because you cannot make takbir while you're sitting down and then stand. La, you gotta stand first. And then make takbir, okay? So therefore, then make it the second one. Takbirat al-ihram. Make it the second takbir. What is the third one? Al-Fatiha. Ahsant. Reciting Al-Fatiha. So therefore, all that stuff that's between takbirat al-ihram and Al-Fatiha, that's not rukun. Like ta'awud and this, isti'adha, the istiftah, that's not arkan. Okay, tayyib. So here, when a person, when the imam say Allahu Akbar, that's takbirat al-ihram, and after, if he choose to make istiftah, this ad'iyah that the Prophet used to make, and before saying A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to begin to recite Al-Fatiha, that Imam, he will say Allahu Akbar 6 times beside the first one, so that make him 7. Okay, so that's why the Imam who follow the Sunnah, you will hear him say Allahu Akbar, and he be quiet for a while making istiftah. Some people, they say, Subhanallah, forget. They think that he forget. No, he's try to apply the sunnah. Okay? And then he will say, Allahu Akbar 6 times. Allahu Akbar, they say Allahu Akbar 6 times. Takbiratul al-ihram rukn, la budda minha, la tan'aqidu salatu bidunha. Allahu Akbar. Remember, this is very important, Yaquan. We took this in the classes of Salat, Alhamdulillah, that Takbirat al-Ihram is a pillar. If a person didn't do that, Takbirat al-Ihram has no Salat. And that's why certain people, especially those who come late for any Salat, they just stand like this. No, you gotta stand and say Allahu Akbar, and then stand. If the Imam in Ruku', you do that. Stand, Allahu Akbar. Allah Akbar, go for rukun. The imam is in sujood tashahud. You want to stand. You don't. Some people, they walk in and go to the sujood first. No, you got to stand. That's the first pillar. Allahu Akbar to yourself. Allahu Akbar. People think that the imam says Allahu Akbar. No, you say it to yourself. Then you sit down for tashahud or for sujood. ثم يستفتح بعدها لأن الاستفتاح في أول الصلاة. Then after takbirat al-ihram, the imam make the dua of istiftah. There is different dua. He choose one of them. He don't choose a long one. He don't say all of them because now people are praying behind him. ثم يأتي بالتكبيرات الزوائد الست. After this, he will say the 6 takbirat. ثم يتعود عقب التكبير السادسة. Then when he say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, after the 6th التكبيرة. Okay, there's six takbirs after that. لأن التعود للقراءة فيكون عندها ثم يقرأ. Because you're supposed to say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم right before you start reciting. And then he began to recite الحمد لله رب العالمين. ويكبر في الركعة الثانية قبل القراءة خمسة تكبيرات غير تكبيرة الانتقال لما روى أحمد عن عمر بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جدي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كبر في عيد 12 تكبيرة سبعا في الأولى وخمسا في الآخرة وإسناده حسن. As for the second ركعة when he make the two sujood and the imam raise up for the second ركعة and he say الله أكبر, that's the they call it تكبيرة الانتقال going from sujood to the second unit. Then he will say another five once, another five takbir before the imam began to recite al-Fatiha. Because of the hadith that is called Imam Ahmad on the authority of Amr ibn Shu'aib from his father, who heard it from his grandfather, that the Prophet ﷺ made takbir in the Eid 12 times. Seven takbirs in the first one and five in the second one. وروي غير ذلك في عدد التكبيرات. قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله اختلف أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في التكبير وكله جائز. The Sheikh says there is other narrations. There is other narrations as related to the takbir. عدد التكبير, the number of takbir, how many takbirs in the first rak'ah and the second. Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى says the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they differ as related to the exact number of takbir. He says, but it's all of it is permissible. If he come to you from the companions, it is permissible, alhamdulillah. وَيَرْفَعُ يَدَيْهِ مَعَ كُلِّ تَكْبِيرًا لِأَنَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانِ يَرْفَعُ يَدَيْهِ مَعَ التَكْبِيرًا. Also, you raise your hand with the takbir in the Eid. When you say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to raise his hands with every takbir. قال الشيخ وإن شك في عدد التكبيرات بنى على اليقين وهو الأقل. Now the Imam, if he while he's making these takbirat, now he has a doubt: is it number four, number five, which one? What he do? He make it the lesser number. He make it the lesser number and he keep going. If it's in the first rak'ah after takbirat al-ihram, he has to do six. But at one point he's like, this is three or four. What he should he make it what? Three. And he add another three, inshallah ta'ala. Another point. وَإِن نَسِيَ نَعَمْ. Allahu Akbar. نعم, the same in here. Allahu Akbar. وإن نسي التكبير الزائد حتى شرع في القراءة سقط لأنه سنة فات محلها. Now if the imam who's leading the Eid prayer, he forgot the six takbirat or the five ones in the second rak'ah, he's until, but now here's the condition, until he began reciting Fatiha, that's it, he just leave it alone. Why? Because it's a sunnah and its place has gone. Okay, its time and place, he moved now to a pillar. He don't go back, he don't stop a pillar to go back to a sunnah. He don't do that. For example, the imam, mashallah, because in the Eid prayer is not easy, yeah. Not easy to lead the prayer in Eid. Especially if the community is big and somebody just came and he see all these people, it's like, whoa. Sometimes you can't even, you got problem remembering Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la. Because of the pressure, we like, SubhanAllah, Fatiha, right? Okay, Fatiha, Fatiha, Fatiha. So some imams, akhi, you're looking at, so they be like, they know seven takbirat, but at that moment, so many people looking at them and everybody standing, as mashallah. Is it six or five? Which one? Allah al-Musta'an, it's not easy. You gotta make dua for the imam who lead the salat. Allah give him tawfiq. Ameen. So he's like, he knows he's supposed to do this takbirat. Allahu Akbar, and now he's under all this pressure. Alhamdulillah. That's it. Don't say subhanallah or anything. That's it. Don't say to him subhanallah. If he began to recite, that's it. Alhamdulillah. It's okay. That's what the Shaykh said. If he forgot, mashallah, just keep going. He keep going, inshallah ta'ala. Another point the Shaykh mentioned. وَكَذَا إِذَا أَدْرَكَ الْمَأْمُومُ الْإِمَامُ بَعْدَمَا شَرَعَ فِي الْقِرَاءَ لَمْ يَأْتِ بِالتَّكْبِيرَةِ الزَّوَائِدِ أَوْ أَدْرَكَهُ رَائِعًا فَإِنَّهُ رَاكِعًا فَإِنَّهُ يُكَبِّرُ تَكْبِيرَةَ الْإِحْرَامِ ثُمَّ يَرْكَعُ وَلَا يَشْتَغِلُ بِقَضَاءِ التَّكْبِيرِ. This is very important. This is a mistake. Some people, the Shaykh mentioned, I point out a mistake that some of us may fall into. This is pertaining to somebody who came late and he finds the Imam already reciting. And this person know that they supposed to make what? Six takbirat after the takbirat al-ihram. The Shaykh says, however, you don't do that. If you come and the Imam already make those takbirat and he's reciting Fatiha or Surah, what you do? You just say Allahu Akbar and recite your Fatiha. That's it. Of course, for the qawl, for the opinion of which says you recite al-Fatiha for everybody. But if somebody believe the other opinion that if the Imam recited aloud, you don't recite, which the ulama, Sheikh bin Baz, and others, they says it's the rajih, what is to be the authentic opinion that you have to recite al-Fatiha, it doesn't matter. You're the Imam or Ma'mum, he's reciting loud and the like. So this person, he just say Allahu Akbar takbirat al-ihram, and that's it. He don't make up the six. No. Likewise, it says the Shaykh, if you come late, for example, and you find the Imam already in ruku', you just stand in the row, say Allahu Akbar takbirat al-ihram, then go for the ruku'. The ulama, they says yes, it's better to make another takbirah for the ruku'. But some people, the Imam in ruku', and he's like, Allah Akbar. The Imam says, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, he says, Allahu Akbar. La. You come, the Imam is in ruku', you say, Allahu Akbar, and go for ruku'. Imam in sujood, the same thing. You stand, Allahu Akbar. You don't like, why you going for sujood, Allahu Akbar. There's no diving in the salah. You got to stand, face the qibla, positions of the hand, Allahu Akbar. Then go for the sujood, tashahud, ruku', any position that the Imam is in. Now. Now you don't do six times. You do the six takbirs. If the Imam is doing it and you hearing him, you do it after him. But if you come and the Imam finish, you don't do it. Okay? That was the same question? I like that. Jazakumullah khair. Make it easy for me. قال لا يشتغل بقضاء التكبير. Person just get in any position the Imam is in. He don't busy himself by making up the six takbirs. لا. وصلاة العيد ركعتان يجهر الإمام فيهما بالقراءة لقول ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجهر بالقراءة في العيدين وفي الاستسقاء رواه الدارقطني. There is two units, two rak'ats in the Eid prayers. Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, the same. The Imam recite loud, not silence, like Jumu'ah. Okay, like Jumu'ah. Because of the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite loud recitation in the two Eid prayers and in istisqa too. What is istisqa? Naam Abdul Rahman. It's the prayer for rain. Sometimes if there is drought, and you know, water brings good life. So if there is drought in the area, it is legislated for us to perform this salat that is called Salatul Istisqa, in which we ask Allah for rain. That salat also is like the Eid prayers. Okay, so the two rak'at, he has two rak'at also, and it is loud. وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ الْعُلَمَاءُ عَلَى ذَلِكُ وَنَقَلَهُ الْخَلَفْ عَنِ السَّلَفِ واستمر عمل المسلمين عليه. The ulama, they have the consensus of this, and the khalaf, they transmit this to us from the salaf, and the Muslim, they continue to do this. All of them, they recite loud in these two prayers. you don't mind, I'm going to skip the Arabic text because we don't have much time and we have to finish this, as today is the last class, inshallah. What to recite in the first rak'ah and what to recite in the second rak'ah? You recite in the first rak'ah, after Fatiha of course, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Same thing in Jumu'ah. And after Fatiha in the second rak'ah, you recite هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. Because the Prophet ﷺ used to recite like this in the two Eid prayers. Or also can recite after Fatiha in the first rak'ah Surah Qaf, Qaf or Quran al-Majid. And in the second rak'ah after Fatiha, اقتربتي الساعة. اقتربتي الساعة. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala says, however, if a person recites something else, it's permissible. If the imam recites in the first rak'ah, what duha wa layli ida saja, in the second one, what tini wa zaytun wa al-asr, it's okay. Okay? La ba'as, insha'Allah. Likewise, he says the same thing in other salawat. You will find the Prophet ﷺ, he used to recite certain surahs in certain prayers in certain times. However, if a person recites other than that, it's okay. It's okay, alhamdulillah. It's not a bid'ah or innovation. It's okay, inshallah ta'ala. But however, to stick to the sunnah is better. Especially Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahu ta'ala, he says, these four surahs, the Prophet ﷺ used to recite them in these bigger gatherings, Jumu'ah and Eids, because they remind, in these surahs, are a reminder about the hereafter, about what happened to the criminals and the rebellious, about the torment that Allah prepared for them, about the great reward for the pious and the righteous and the obedient. So the people, they hear this and they reflect. For those who reflect, of course, they're going to benefit. They mention the stories of the Anbiya, they mention the Tawheed, these surahs, okay, and the like. فَإِذَا سَلَّمَ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ, when the imam finished the two rak'at, of course make tashahud, and he make the two taslimat, then خَطَبَ خُطْبَتَيْنِ يَجْلِسُ بَيْنَهُمَا. He will give two khutbas, and he will sit between the two. Give the first khutbah, sit, and get up, and give the second one like in Jumu'ah. Because of this hadith that is collected by, that is narrated by Ubaydullah ibn Utbah, he says that sunnah an yakhtub al imam fil eidain khutbatayn yafsir baynahuma bi julus, rawahu al-Shafi'i. That the sunnah is that the imam will deliver two sermons, two khutbas in the Eid, in the two Eids, separate between them with a sitting, sits. Sometimes you go give a khutbah somewhere in Musalla, they don't even have a chair for the person to sit. He just squat a little bit and get up again. You have a chair in there, inshallah ta'ala, available and the like. Now another point, the women, before that, what is to be mentioned in this khutbah? Of course, taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remind them of taqwa of Allah, tawheed, following the head into the sunnah, the way of the salaf. People be obedient to Allah and stay away from disobedience. Compete to do good deeds and repent. Nah. And highlight the importance of these gatherings. The Shaykh he mentioned, and that the people, they will stand in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and it will be better if there is time for that imam who's given khutbah to highlight some of the etiquettes of the Eid, and this is the best days, and the people have to be happy to each other and visit their family members and be kind and nice and remember the poor and the needy and the like. And if it's the Eid of Adha, remind them of the etiquettes of the slaughters and the etiquettes of the animals and what to be slaughtered and the ages and the like, to help the people, alhamdulillah, to provide them with knowledge. He says this is a khutbah, the Shaykh he says, يذكر فيها الغافل ويعلم فيها الجاهل. This khutbah should serve as a reminder for those who already know the information but they heedless. Let's be a reminder for them. And it be an opportunity for those who don't know to learn as well. Likewise, women should attend the Eid prayer, as we mentioned before, he says. However, he says, if the Imam addressed them, you know, and address their issues, give some admonitions, advice to them as related to them. The Prophet ﷺ did that. The Prophet ﷺ, he went to the women. And the reason why he went to them, because they couldn't hear him. They couldn't hear him. But the ulama, they says, if alhamdulillah with the technology these days, the women, they can hear, there's no need for the Imam. Okay, bro, I'm going to go. No, it's okay. The Prophet ﷺ, he approached the women with Bilal with him, radiallahu anh, because the women couldn't hear him. So the Prophet ﷺ, he approached where they were and he addressed them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In our days, alhamdulillah, there is mics and mukabbirat al-sawt, alhamdulillah, speakers. The Imam delivered the khutbah, and in a part of the khutbah, he will address the women, give them advice that they are servants of Allah. They should also adhere to the deen of Allah, to the tawheed. Know the shirk and stay away from it, and adhere to the sunnah, stay away from innovations and hizbiyya, stick on the minhaj of a salaf, and they should know what Allah has made obligatory upon them as related to the rights of Allah, the rights of their husbands if they married, and if they are not married, they should know because they may get married inshallah soon, the rights of the parents of the husband, the rights of the neighbors, the rights of the children. Naam. Remind them of these things. The etiquettes of speak, what the woman should be speaking, should be mindful of her tongue, of her eyes, of her limbs in general, what she should wear, she should learn. All of these things. No, this is a good reminder. Especially on the Eid, a lot of women comes. So God, make sure they hear it, because you don't know. You don't know. Some women, that's all they need to hear. And they're like, SubhanAllah, he's right. And then they go home and research. Allahu Akbar, that's good. Likewise, why you do all this? He said, اقتداءً بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because the Prophet ﷺ did this. He addressed the women. Likewise, from the rulings of the Eid prayer, there is dislike to do any nafil, any optional prayer before it or after it, at the place where the Eid prayer will be taken. Okay, if he is a musalla, you sit. There's no two rak'at, four, five, six, no. Like you come to the masjid, you pray tahiyat al-masjid, and that's it. And you sit. What you do takbir, as we're going to mention. But the takbir is not jama'atan, it's bid'ah. Takbir jama'atan, all together, Allahu Akbar, Allah. La. Everybody say it to himself. But while you're saying it to yourself, you make one side with another one, it's okay. You don't stop, because you're never going to finish. Whenever you try, another one is coinciding with you, no, you keep going. But what is intent by that, is not like a person come and say, Ikhwan, we're going to do it jama'atan. No, if somebody is doing it by himself, some other people are following him, that's not on him. Because he didn't tell them, follow me. He's doing it by himself. Maybe those people don't know the ruling, and they're like, just follow this brother, he has a good voice. They didn't tell him, Akhi, we want to follow you. Because if they come to him and say, you have a good voice, we want to follow you, it's okay. He says, no, do it yourself. But those who don't know, they follow. That's how people, they learn. They follow, alhamdulillah, as long as nobody tell them, look, we're going to do it together. It is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway, there is no prayer before nor after the Eid prayer at the place where the Eid is conducted. Why I'm saying this? He says, حَتَّى يُفَارِقَ الْمُصَلَّى لِقَوْلِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم لِقَوْلِ ابْنِ عَبَّاسِ رضي الله عنهما مُتَّفَقًا عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم يَوْمَ عِيدٍ رَكْعَتَيْنِ لَمْ يُصَلِّ قَبْلَهُمَا وَلَا بَعْدَهُمَا. Because of this hadith, there is a great upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, رحمهم الله. The statement of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, and this is the author, statement of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, who says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم performed the Eid two rak'at He didn't perform anything before them or anything after them. They saw the Prophet. If he did it, he would do the same. He's right in front of them. Prophet, he came, prayed the Eid. And he didn't, they didn't see him standing up and praying another two. However, okay, so this is the case. There is no sunnah before or after the Eid prayer at the place where the Eid is conducted. Okay, the Eid prayer is performed. However, listen to this. If that person who performed the Eid go back to his house, it's okay to pray in his house. Because of the hadith that is collected by Imam Ahmad and other than him, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana idha raja'a ila manzilihi min al-Eid salla rak'atayn. That the Prophet ﷺ, when he used to go back to his house from the Eid prayer, he performed two rakat. This hadith is collected by Imam Ahmad and also Ibn Majah from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and Ibn Khuzaymah. And it is hadith Hassan in Sahih Ibn Majah by Al-Albani rahimahullah, and also it is the hadith in Sahih al-Irwa by Sheikh Al-Albani, volume 3, hadith number 100. So there is no sunnah before or after the Eid prayer at the Eid where the Eid is conducted, prayer, the Eid prayer is conducted. But if a person go back home, the Shaykh says this hadith is Hassan. Shaykh Al-Albani declared it to be Hassan, sound, that you can pray two rakat. You can, it's not obligatory. And then there is the takbir. Okay, the takbir on Yawm al-Eid, we're just going to mention Eid al-Fitr because this is what this is the Eid al-Fitr. The takbir, it starts when? The ulama, they said it starts at the Maghrib. The Maghrib of the Eid. If the moon is sighted and tomorrow is the Eid, the takbir starts at Maghrib. And the people, they say it in their homes, in the masajid, in the marketplaces. While you're walking, while you're driving, you make takbir. Okay, and we continue until the Eid. When you come in for the Eid prayer to the Musalla, you come, takbir, everybody making takbir. Of course, you give salam to the people, you don't ignore people. You give them salam, you talk to people, you eat, you drink, you sleep, you lay down, alhamdulillah, you conduct your whatever you want to, but along with that, takbir. When the takbir stop, when the imam comes out for the prayer, that's it. And that's no more takbir. Until the next Ramadan, next Eid, inshallah, we're talking about Eid al-Fitr, not Eid al-Adha, okay? What do you say? You say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. That's what you say. However, the Shaykh says, if there is other ways of saying takbir, as long as it came to us on from the way of the companions and there is a sound way, it's okay to do that. So you may hear people saying something else. As long as there's people that did homework and what they saying come to them from a sound way from the companions of the Prophet, it's okay. But if somebody just come up with stuff and start saying, we don't follow anybody just because it rhymes nice. No, we gotta do what's before we follow anybody, we have to make sure, I don't know. Just some people is be given they be given a page or two. No, this is the takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. You don't rhyme. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha. You say Allahu Akbar, Akbar, khushu'. You have to humble yourself with khushu', takbir, barakallahu fikum. And we don't wait until somebody say takbir. No, we don't do that. It's not from the sunnah. It's not from the sunnah for somebody to stand up and say takbir, Allahu Akbar. We don't do that. Sahaba didn't do these things. But if you want to remind the people, just start saying it. If you are around some people that are not saying takbir, all you have to do, just say it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allah. Then the people, while another guy here, say it, and the other one next to him of this side, you're going to hear it, say it, and that's how it's Alhamdulillah, it's spread. Now the last point we want to mention, التهنئة. التهنئة. What is التهنئة? The greetings, the Eid greetings. A lot of people, they ask about this. قال لا بأس بتهنئة الناس بعدهم بعدا بأن يقول لغيره تقبل الله منا ومنك. He says, it's okay for the people to greet one another on the Eid by saying what? May Allah accept from me and you. May Allah accept from us and you. See, that's what the Shaykh is saying. As for Eid Mubarak, Eid Sa'id, Eid Kareem, there is no narrations that support this. Okay, there is no narration that support this. Okay, but you say تقبل الله منا ومنكم. May Allah accept from us and from you. صالح الأعمال, the best deeds. قال شيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى في مجموع الفتاوى, his volume 24, page 253. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية says, قد روي عن طائفة من الصحابة أنهم كانوا يفعلونه ورخص فيه الأئمة كأحمد وغيره. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله says, it is narrated on a group of the companions, they used to do this. They used to say to each other, تقبل الله منا ومنكم. And it was rendered permissible by some of the أئمة like Imam Ahmad and other than them. قال الشيخ والمقصود من التهنئة التودد وإظهار السرور, because what is intended by this greeting is to express the happiness and the joy that you're so happy. تقبل الله منا ومنك, should be with a smile, beautiful smile in your face. تقبل الله, oh. Big smile, you're happy on the Eid, remember. وقال الإمام أحمد, the last point we're going to mention, the Shaykh says, إمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى says, لا أبتدئ به فإن ابتدأني أحد أجبته. However, Imam Ahmed says, I won't be the first one who said it to somebody else. I won't. The Imam Ahmed, he says, I don't start someone by telling him تقبل الله مني ومنكم. But if somebody said that to me, I will respond. But if somebody said to me تقبل الله مني ومنكم, I say تقبل الله مني ومنكم. قال وذلك لأن جواب التحية واجب, وأما الابتداء بالتهنئة فليس سنة مأمور بها, ولا هو أيضا مما نهي عنه, ولا بأس بالمصاحبة التهنئة, والله تعالى أعلم. The Sheikh Fawzan, he explained to us the statement of Imam Ahmed, why he said that. He said, I don't start it, I don't tell the person تقبل الله منا ومنك, but if he said that to me, I reply. He says why? He says because replying the tahiyya is obligatory. As for saying it, especially this one, the greetings, it's not even a sunnah that we are commanded to do. It's not a sunnah. And also, we don't have no text that says it is prohibited. That's the same thing Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala, he mentioned. When they ask him, it is a bid'ah, he says, no, we cannot say it is a bid'ah because it is not something that is prohibited. And he says, some of the companions, they used to say it and this and that. Some of the a'imma. He said, and also the Shaykh, he says, it's okay to shake hands while giving these greetings, taqabbalah minna wa minkum, to give greetings. قال والله تعالى أعلم أن الله knows best, وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.